Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle Age Mini number 67. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Nate, are you over there doing some dancing?
Shooting my guns.
Shooting your guns.
I thought he was dancing the jig, which
I did too. I wasn't sure what was going on here.
Jazz hands.
He does know what to do with his hands, and he's doing it.
Yeah.
I finally figured it out.
I see that. Creepies, too bad we don't have video for you.
Right.
Nate's wound up
one
for this
of these days,
minute.
Right?
Let me tell you something. Are you doing a macho man? Let me tell you something, Sean Lehman.
Yeah. I thought I was
Nate.
Tito.
He's the cream of the crop. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dig it.
I'm not Tito Santana.
Oh, you're Sean Lehman. Yeah. You're not Tito Santana.
Oh.
And Ricky Steamboat.
I'll never be able to do that as well.
And if I keep doing funny. This, I won't be able to do the podcast. Yeah.
You won't be able to talk forever.
Creepies, welcome to this crazy mini here. Wow.
It's good, though. I like it.
Just a little craziness, right?
A little bit.
There
little
are certain bit. Things that are nostalgic, and I love to think about, watch, whatever, talk about, and WWF and old time wrestling, any of it is just it's so heartwarming.
WCW, and
it just makes my heart warm. So Macho Man is right up and down my alley. So please,
I can do him all day.
That makes me smile. Night,
yeah,
Captain Louie or
Albana. Captain Lou Albana.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
with the
rubber bands.
Yeah,
He was in the Cindy Lauper video. Uh-huh.
Girls just want to have fun.
Yeah. Girls. Just want to have
it. How did I know that and you know that?
I don't know.
Because we're children of the 80s.
I don't remember. Are we that old?
Kind of.
Yeah, I do. I do know that. Anyway, creepies, we got a fun little mini episode for you.
We do.
Sean, you want to tell them what we're going to talk about?
I do. This is my choice, right? I got to give my credit to myself. It's my night.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
That Austin Powers.
About myself.
All right, Austin. Go.
Wait, what? Okay. So anyway, over here, we are going to talk about Edgar Allan Poe. We're not going to be posers, but we're going to talk about Poe.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So to lay a little foundation, because you know I like to do that. Like, you don't want me building your house. You don't want me putting in a pool. But I could put in a foundation like nobody's business. Say what? Edgar Allan Poe, born Edgar Poe, January 19th, 1809 to October 7th, 1849. He's young. Was an American writer, poet, editor, and literary critic. Poe is best known for his poetry and short stories, particularly his tales of mystery and the macabre. He is widely regarded as a central figure of romanticism in the United States and of American literature. Poe is one of the country's earliest practitioners of the short story and considered to be the inventor of the detective fiction genre, as well as a significant contributor to the emerging genre of science fiction. Poe is the first well-known American writer to earn a living through writing alone, resulting in a financially difficult life and career. Just this picture alone, like, makes you sad for him. You know what I mean?
He does look sad.
You know
he's
what
got
I mean?
Sad face.
Always. There's no, like
no joy.
Happy Poe. Happy Poe. No, there's no happy Poe out there. Sorry.
Poe Edgar. Oh.
Not going to happen.
Sorry. He was 40 years old. Wow.
Yeah.
He looked a lot older than 40.
Uh-huh.
And that's probably because
of his
never
life,
smiled,
right?
And he just had a miserable life.
His signature was fantastic, though. I don't know.
Yeah. Like I said, I had a signature like that in third grade. That's what I read. No, I'm saying that's just, it looks like
it's very,
how
it's
we learned how
particular,
to write.
Particular, yes.
Yes, in cursive. But
you love that he was born in Boston.
Yeah. And you know
He's
what?
A Boston
I
boy.
Just found that out before we went on the air.
Yes.
Or, well, not live air, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, he's a Boston boy. I wonder.
He died in Baltimore, and Baltimore Ravens, right, are the Ravens mm-hmm. are, and I thought this was funny. I was trying to tell this to Harrison, like, it was some kind of news, and I'm like, do you know what the mascot for the Ravens is called? And he goes, Poe. And I'm like, do you know why? And he's like, Edgar Allan. I was like, dang it, I can't teach you anything, kid.
Hey, so he's on it.
I know, which is good, but it's like, man, I can't. I really
yeah,
can't
it's hard to get past these youngsters these days.
I know.
Yeah, everything
TikTok, right?
Yeah.
Were you guys aware there's a mystery to his death?
There is.
Really?
Would you like to share it?
There's nine.
Do what?
There's nine different theories.
Oh, nine theory. I was like,
you're like, there's
nine. I thought you were saying like nine. I was like, nine. No.
No, he like, does what? Not. No, we do not want to hear it.
Yeah.
Embrace the silence.
I was like, okay, I'm totally confused.
All the German audience is loving that.
Our momentum came to a halt. Do you want to share and we can discuss? Or
yeah.
That'd be great.
The first theory is beating at the instigation of a woman who considered herself injured by Poe. He was cruelly beaten blow upon blow by a ruffian who knew of no better mode of avenging supposed injuries. Hmm. It is well known that a brain fever followed. Hmm. Other accounts also mention
it was ruffians, a blow to the Poe.
Blow to the Poe.
Absolutely right.
Who had beaten Poe senseless before his death. While in Baltimore, Poe ran into some friends from West Point who prevailed upon him to join them for drinks. Poe, unable to handle his liquor, became madly drunk after a single glass of champagne, after which he left his friends to wander the streets. In his drunken state, he was robbed and beaten by ruffians and left insensible in the street all night.
By ruffians. I love that word.
Ruffians. So, yeah, there's two different theories on the beating theory.
Hmm. Either way, sounds bad. But,
do you remember, too, that we talked about Poe and the Croatoan, that it was he had written
yes.
in his journal or whatever?
Yeah.
And he was one of those. That was a curse, yeah. Uh-huh. And Amelia Earhart mm-hmm. and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. So mm-hmm. he was, but they say Poe is one of the victims of Croatoan, but God knows why he wrote that in his journal and why that was on his mind, why he was looking into that, and
this
what it even means.
Nothing makes sense with him. It's He's very...
Well, and it comes through in his writing. I mean, for sure.
Well, yeah.
Most famous poem, of course, is The Raven.
Yeah.
Nevermore, right? And they said that people loved him so much that they would run up to him and kids would say, nevermore, you know, and they just, he was revered like immediately for that poem. And I want to say that he made all of like $10 off of it. And that they say all in all, he made like maybe 100 and something, but then he had debts to pay off or whatever. So he basically or nothing. And he just was a horrible businessman. He had such a rough life, you know, he tried to get the favor of his family but he really wasn't much of a rule follower. So he, you know, they tried to let him, you know, go on his own. And it just, you know, he is just such a weird, and troubled life.
He couldn't get out of his own way.
But that also makes him the godfather of the macabre. I mean, he's the godfather of gothic horror. But also all these horrible things and these dark times in his life made him who he is. And it came through, I'd say, shining in color, but it's not. It's more like darkness.
It's kind of yeah, it's like his writing. Yeah, meshed with his real life.
Yeah. And he has influenced so many people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this influences... artists, and this influences musicians and movies. And I mean, you can still see him in and out of so many things.
I mean, this isn't 1949 when he died. It's 1849.
Yeah. And he's still
way over 200 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he's still, yeah. I mean, people know young and old. I mean, who Edgar Allan Poe is.
It's just too bad that he didn't realize, you know.
A very sad life, yeah. No wonder he looked like that.
Influence, yeah. No kidding. Mm-hmm. So he was the second child of actors David and Elizabeth Eliza Poe. His father abandoned the family in 1810, and when his mother died the following year, Poe was taken in by John and Francis Allen. So that's how he got his full name.
Okay.
Of Richmond, Virginia. They never formally adopted him, but he was with them well into young adulthood. He attended the University of Virginia, but left after a year due to the lack of money. He quarreled with John Allen over the funds of his education and his gambling debts. He liked to gamble. Drink and gamble. In 1827, having enlisted in the United States Army under an assumed name, if I can get that out, he published his first collection, Tamerlane and Other Poems, credited only to a Bostonian. Poe and Allen reached a temporary, basically, agreement after the death of Allen's wife in 1829. Poe later failed as an officer cadet at West Point, declared a firm wish to be a poet and writer, and parted ways with Allen altogether.
Mm.
Goodbye. So a lot of rocky road there,
that's a basically. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the second theories of his death is cooping. Have you ever heard about this?
No, I have not heard that one.
It is believed that Poe fell victim to the practice known as cooping, a method of voter fraud practiced by gangs in the 19th century, where an unsuspecting victim would be kidnapped, disguised, and forced to vote for a specific candidate.
I have heard that.
Multiple times.
I've heard that, but I've not.
Under multiple disguises and identities.
Yep.
And this one is a favored theory just because the morning, or he was found delirious on election day. So one of the ways of enticing him to vote is they would give him alcohol after they voted. So if he did it multiple times, then he'd have multiple drinks.
Yep. He's lit.
Yeah.
As the kids would say, just a different lit. It's crazy. Go ahead.
If you have number three, alcohol.
He's got nine, remember?
Yeah. Not nine ways.
Like a cat.
Just nine ways of death.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Alcohol.
Okay. That's
That's sort of.
It goes without saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drink himself to death. Carbon monoxide poisoning.
Ooh.
Okay.
On that one, in 1999, a researcher argued that Poe's death was a result of carbon monoxide poisoning from coal gas that was used for indoor lighting during the 19th century. Mm. They clipped one of Poe's hairs and tested them for certain heavy metals.
Hmm.
That's how they've come up with that.
Okay.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Heavy metal poisoning, like mercury,
mm-hmm.
is the main one.
Not Metallica. Or
it's a heavy metal. It is a heavy metal.
That is heavy metal.
ACD. Okay.
Motorhead.
Motorhead.
Yeah, they use mercury for a lot of. They tried to cure with mercury and thought it was.
They made hats with mercury.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yep. That's right.
Rabies.
Mm.
So everybody knows what rabies is.
Mm-hmm.
Brain tumor.
Okay.
And number eight, the flu. Which you know that kills many people.
Yeah, it does.
Year after year.
Mm-hmm.
And number nine, murder.
Dun, dun,
dun, yeah, I was just saying, murder, you say.
Murder.
Murder, he wrote. So nine ways that he possibly could have died, and we still don't know.
Could write a song about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nine deaths of Poe, right?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because he, like I said, I mean, we could talk for quite a while about him, but he, within his life, he started doing literary journals, periodicals, and becoming known as a literary critic. He would go to Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York City. In 1836, he married his 13-year-old cousin, Virginia Clemm.
That's a good choice.
And she died, right? She died back
then. It was legal back then.
Back then, it was not a big deal, right? She died of tuberculosis in 1847. In January 1845, Poe published his poem, The Raven, to instant success. He planned for years to produce his own journal, The Pen, later renamed The Stylus. But before it could be produced, he died in Baltimore on October 7th, 1849, at the age of 40, as we've been talking about.
Ooh, tomorrow.
Under Mr.
No.
Friday.
Two
days from now, yeah. The cause of his death, just like you're saying, remains unknown and has been variously attributed to many causes, including disease, alcoholism, substance abuse, murder, and suicide.
Coopy.
So, I mean, suicide, right?
And yeah. Mummies first.
Lots of voting, cooping. And then you're dead.
Cooping is really mummies. Interesting. Interesting. I would think most of our creepies know who H.P. Lovecraft is, another
yes.
fantastic author and mm-hmm. writer of the macabre and paranormal and, you know, a lot of alien type, you know. He was heavily inspired by Edgar Allan Poe. Lovecraft is quoted as saying, "When I write stories, Edgar Allan Poe is my model."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "But Poe was my god of fiction," in his letters to Reinhard Kleiner. So Edgar Allan, I mean, big time inspired H.P. He was a well-known author.
I think it's interesting that his time in the military was, which you just don't think of Edgar Allan Poe being a military guy.
No.
He was unable to support himself, so he enlisted in the United States Army as a private on May 27, 1827, using the name Edgar A. Perry. He claimed that he was 22 years old, even though he was 18. He first served at Fort Independence in Boston Harbor for $5 a month. That same year, he released his first book, a 40-page collection of poetry titled "That Tamerlane and Other Poems," attributed with the byline or with the byline by a Bostonian. Only 50 copies were printed, and the book received virtually no attention. Poe's regiment was posted to Fort Moultrie in Charleston, South Carolina. So Mike Brown told us about the stories with him and how his, like, Poe's little weird, mm-hmm. you know, intricate parts of his life during his military career and how weird it was. He traveled by ship on the brig Waltham on November 8th, 1827. Poe was promoted to artificer, an enlisted tradesman who prepared shells for artillery and had his monthly pay doubled. He served for 2 years, attained the rank of sergeant major for artillery, then sought to end his five-year enlistment. Poe revealed his name and his circumstances to commanding officer Lieutenant Howard, who would only allow Poe to be discharged if he reconciled with Allen. Poe wrote a letter to Allen, who was unsympathetic and spent several months ignoring Poe's pleas. Allen may not have written to Poe even to make him aware of his foster mother's illness. Frances Allen died on February 28, 1829, and Poe visited the day after her burial. Perhaps softened by his wife's death, Allen agreed to support Poe's attempt to be discharged in order to receive an appointment to the United States Military Academy at West Point, New York. Mm. So that is so convoluted, and it's like, who knew? I didn't really know that much about Poe, and like I said, when Mike Brown talked about that, that made me interested in looking into that a little deeper. So
yeah. Yeah.
And there's also there's story of love there in Charleston as well. So Charleston is a very romantic city. I've never been. It's got a lot of history, a lot of romanticism, a lot of ghosts and a lot of hauntings and all that good stuff. And we need to go there sometime so Mike Brown can show us around.
That is on our list, right?
Shout out to Mike Brown. It most certainly is. Yes. That's been on my list for a long time, not just for the haunting stuff, but
yeah, I thought it was
just cause it's a, yeah.
So some of the famous writings that Mr. Poe did were turned into movies. Sean, do you want to give the creepies some of them?
Of course. Please. One, my favorite is the cast of Montiliado. I always have a hard time getting my tongue around that one, but it's one of my favorites. There is a true torture of entombing somebody where they can't eat or drink. They right. basically starve and you know, dehydrate so that they die that way. But the way I always picture it, and it's basically talking about somebody that gets their good friend drunk, but they've been scorned by them in some way, and they're, you know, it's something that this person obviously can't forgive this person, so they just get them drunk and then they entomb them,
bury him alive.
That's, and that is so, I mean, bad. There's different ways to do that, but to like seal them up and then just mm-hmm. to leave them for dead, it's yeah. just it's a horrible thing. But that's, like I said, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Obviously the Raven, To Helen, Annabelle Lee, The Telltale Heart, and The Fall of the House of Usher, The Mask of the Red Death. Those are all,
and The Pit and the Pendulum.
The Pit and the Pendulum, which, Pendulum, yeah. we were talking about, how, my brain,
Vincent Price
mm-hmm. was in that and scared the bejesus out of us as yeah. kids. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So creepy. Going,
but yeah.
So, but yeah, so he's, like I said, he has, he's within our culture so deep that it's hard to, once you sit down and think about all the things that he has influenced along the way, it's pretty wild. It's a far reach mm-hmm. for, he was a genius, you know, truly.
Oh yeah.
Have you guys come across any, ghost stuff?
I had not.
There are.
Well, please tell.
The Baltimore home where Poe lived a few short years with his aunt and his beloved wife is now a museum. It displays artifacts of the well-versed writer. The unknown ghost that many speculate to be his grandmother, Elizabeth Poe, who died during their stay there. Besides the heavy energy felt in the home, many have claimed to have seen an older, portly woman throughout the house. She isn't a malevolent spirit. However, other presence that haunt the house cause some issues. Suddenly a window popped out of its frame and crashed to the floor. Other reports tell of mysterious tapping on shoulders, muttering voices, lights moving from room to room when no one is in them, and windows and doors slamming shut. Some people report seeing Poe himself, which may be the case as he drifts from place to place throughout the area that he live his life and death. Excuse me. Played out.
You're getting, it's well, I was nap time.
Turned into a yawn, but I was trying to
Navy nap time.
Not belch.
That would be a whole different thing.
Yeah. Many things going on here. Poe's ghost is seen at a saloon he frequented while he lived there. His spirit is seen walking towards the Horse You Came In On saloon for a drink.
I like that name.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a little cottage that he lived in, his last home.
He's getting around.
Yeah.
Those are interesting. Put those on the list, Sean.
Yeah.
Write these down.
Absolutely. There's a long...
Those are great, though.
Aren't
like,
they?
I didn't know... Yeah.
I love the fact, and it's
the
so
horse you came in on. I like that.
So Poe to come back and scare the bejesus so out po. Of us. So Poe. So Poe.
And he also has a museum in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, that I didn't know about.
It was never occupied by Poe. However, the house is full of Poe's original writings as well as memorabilia and personal belongings, pictures, relics, and verses focusing on the many years and his life in Richmond are featured in the museum. Some believe that Poe visits the museum in his afterlife, perhaps for the familiarity of the objects within. Aside from Poe's alleged ghost, the house is said to be haunted by two other ghosts, two blonde children, possibly from the original owners of the house, and the Egg family. Though Poe is seen as a dark shadow that moves about the house, the children simply show up in photographs taken by tourists.
Ah. Very creepy.
There's a...
Good stories.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There's a long story about unburied treasure that's linked to Edgar Allan Poe in the South Carolina Lowcountry.
Oh, I thought it'd be Oak Island.
Did you? Oak Island, absolutely. But it talks about how it's called the story of the gold bug, and he talks a lot. It's an area that he spent a lot of time, and they say that, you know, basically there it's about Captain Kidd's hidden treasure, and they wonder if there's some kind of a treasure that he knew about that he was connected to. So I think that's kind of interesting, but that's a whole nother side story. This one, before we ended, I wanted to tell about. It was immediately after Poe's death, his literary rival, Rufus Wilmot Griswold, wrote a slanted...
That rowdy Rufus.
Rufus and Rancid.
Is that where Tom Griswold?
Maybe.
Or... Griswold from Vacation. Clark.
He wrote a slanted, high-profile obituary under a pseudonym filled with falsehoods that cast him as a lunatic and which described him as a person who walked the streets in madness or melancholy, with lips moving in indistinct curses or with eyes upturned in passionate prayers. Never for himself, for he felt or professed to feel that he was already damned. And that's kind of, ooh, you know what? That's funny because I think there's something to that. Like, that's kind of how we think about him, you know, truthfully. And I know we probably shouldn't, but that's how I
think
about
him. It's
like
he was born to be that
wild.
Not wild. He is like he was destined to be this dark writer and felt. I don't know, just a, you know, like his life, it was planned out, but it's just, I don't know. It seemed like that's how his life was, just a dark, yeah, monotone, gray, black, macabre, you know, like he lived how he wrote and he wrote how he lived.
Can you imagine your obituary though being put like, you're this horrible person. A friend of mine did pass away.
Sad
and
figure.
And his family wrote this really like funny obituary and it was perfect. He actually had it. It's how he wanted it to be portrayed, but he wanted it like people to smile when they thought of him.
Oh yeah.
So I think it's good, but I would not want somebody to be like that son of a gun.
Oh, I know.
Awful.
Yeah, he's a loser.
He's already damned.
Yeah.
I just sort of picture if not you positive. Did meet with him after your meeting with him, you just want to jump off a bridge.
Geronimo!
He's a Debbie Downer.
Right?
Like, geez,
he just sucked the life right out of me.
Hey, Edgar, what's going on?
He's like Droopy the dog, yeah. Oh. You know what?
Right, yeah. I do a good drink.
I feel happy. Go for it. Please.
I haven't
do
done
it
in a while.
Do it.
Oh, boy. yeah, you're right, though, Nate. Like, you're like, hey, Colts won tonight, or the Ravens won today. Oh, good. Good. That's great.
Great.
they're going to the Super Bowl.
We're all going to die.
Really, who cares? There's really not much to be happy about, if anything. If anything. Wait, I'm going to write that down.
But it
sounds
is.
Like
that's
a great
how,
quote
that's,
for me.
That's how you picture him, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh man, what a, like, hey, what are you doing tonight? I really had no plans.
Just gonna stay in,
write a book, maybe some more quotes. They'll read them 200 years ago. Maybe they'll do a podcast.
It's like, what's a podcast?
What is a podcast yet? I don't know. I just came up with it. Maybe they'll do it. No,
he was a foreseer, right?
Edgar, what a true talent, true sad figure at the same time.
Isn't it some literary geniuses? It's just they're crazy when it comes down to it.
I think a majority of them,
yeah,
quite honestly,
in a different way but similar.
Yeah, right.
A lot of comedians they come from a terrible life, and that's I mean.
It's like they have to have tragedy in order to,
and they have themselves
the
say that.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, a lot of actual comedians are like, we come from a bad background, and that's how they deal with it, or that's how it kind of forms their comedy, too. And they, So you're right, though. A lot of
it's either
geniuses
have fun with it, or
be
buried by it.
And Edgar didn't have fun with it.
He didn't have fun with
he didn't have fun with anyone.
It didn't sound like it.
His final words. Were before he died, Lord help my poor soul.
Oh,
I mean, that just kind of
that is sad,
kind of fits.
Wow,
poor, oh boy, poor Edgar, yeah. And then I'm going to leave you on this. Words have no, he said, words have no power to impress the mind without the exquisite horror of their reality.
That's good,
that is good,
that's very good.
That's
very macabre.
That's very macabre. Very, very Poish.
That's very him. Yes.
Yeah.
So Poe.
So Poe. Poe Edgar.
Poe.
Poe Eddie.
Poe man.
Poe Eddie.
Poe Edgar Poe.
Yeah, that was fun. That was macabre, creepy, spooky, sad. Well, I thought exactly what it would be, talking about Edgar Allan Poe. You guys have anything else, though?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, you know what? We got this guy over here, Nate.
He's gonna
take us out. On a high note.
Nevermore. That's a wrap.
I actually, that fits perfect.
It does fit perfectly, right?
Edgar would be proud. He'd go,
I agree.
Gusto.
Yeah. Guys, we want to thank you for listening to Middle Age Mini number 67 and are discussing the interesting and odd life of Edgar Allan Poe. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See ya.
So sad.